good. Father, we love you so much. Holy Spirit, you are so welcome here. So grateful for you and all that you do. We're so thankful that you're here. That your manifest presence is in this place. We've prepared, but we're prepared to lay it down so that you may have your way. Right now. Right here. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. I want to read a scripture for you. As soon as I find it. Found in Psalm 68. It's verses 5 and 6, and I'm using the Passion Translation, which is a paraphrase, but sometimes it sings songs along a little differently for me, and I like it. And it says, to the fatherless, he is a father. To the widow, he is a champion friend. To the lonely, he makes them part of a family. To the prisoners, he leads into prosperity until they sing for joy. This is our holy God in his holy place. This is your holy God. This is my holy God. And when we gather in the name of Jesus, this is his holy place. It's not this building. It's not this property. It's the Spirit of the living God manifesting in a powerful way when we corporately come together. See, you were saved into a family. You are one body with Christ. By the way, that includes The Rock and Heartland and Northland Cathedral and First Baptist Church and United Methodist Church, okay? You're saved into one body, the body of Christ. And when you become a Christian, you started carrying the name of Christ. And you were born as a new creation into his family. Today, I want to talk about you belong here. And it's a family thing. I wanted to say thing, but that sounded too contrived. Because when I say thing, it sounds like thing. Anyway, you belong here. I got a timely email this week. If you don't subscribe to Chris Ballatin, you should. But I got a timely email. It was actually not this week. It was last week. But it really affected me. And so, hey, why reinvent the wheel? Right? So I'm going to give you some of it like he gave it. And one of the things is there's an order to belonging. You belong here. There's an order to belonging. Okay? And all right, good. First, people belong. That sounds like, wait a minute, there's an order. Yeah, first, people need to feel like they belong. Second, they believe. And then third, then they behave. You see, religion kind of gets this backwards. Religion tries to control people's behavior by making them believe something before giving them a place to belong. That's not what LIFT wants to be about. This is one of the main reasons people actually struggle with not feeling like they belong in the church. It's because we've pushed them into a corner before we've given them a chance to belong. I say this, you belong here. Here in this house. Here in this body. Because it's a family thing. And we're a family. Now, perhaps your family was perfect. Perhaps it is now. Mine is not. And I had family in this week, and it was great having them around. It really was. And it was also great having them go home. Both were great. It was great to have that little one-year-old grandson who is super fast, and he's not even walking yet, but he will be. The process to belonging to a church kind of goes like this. I visited their church. I mean, you got to go, right? You got to visit once. If you're a guest here today, this is your last time that you can say, I'm a visitor. Because after this, you're family. Or are you? Or are you? Maybe you're the next step that says this. I go to that church. I was in a store. I was somewhere. And I heard someone that they didn't know I was there. Someone from here. And in that store, there was a scent. Maybe it was Scentsy, or maybe it was a candle, or one of those, you know, those little pots they have that heat up and stuff. But it was of wintergreen. And I heard someone say, ah, smells just like my church. Because we have wintergreen mints. I tried to change those to peppermint one time. I thought they were going to run me out of town. I go to that church. And then the next step is I attend Lift Church. See, at that point, we give it a name. Then the next part, the next step is I am part of Lift Church. I am part. But it goes beyond that. Because the next one is, hello. It's a mystery. I don't even know why I try to keep using this. Would you go next for me? Just go arrow right, Donna. That's not it. There we go. One more. I belong to Lift Church. Something shifts when we feel like we belong. And then go to the next one. And that last step is Lift is my church. Now, if you're a guest here, I know I'm having kind of a family meeting today, but it's not until you take ownership over something that you'll actually influence it. You see, when people come up to me or Chris or Grant or Kelly or whoever, and they say, you know, you guys should do such and such, such and such. You guys, oh, so you're not part of this church. Because Lift is my church. Is it not your church? Do you not belong here? I say, you do. You belong here. Now, I know belonging requires a few things from us and from you. First of all, it requires a name. And it requires a name. You have a name. Your name is the most important thing to you. It really is. You may not think so, but it is. And there's that struggle here sometimes where people should call me Pastor Randy or just call me Randy because it's just a name, okay? Some places demand a particular level of honor and respect. I say you earn honor and respect. And probably those who call me Pastor Randy don't need to. And those who don't, they might need to. Because it's just a title. We're not about titles here. But I do have a name, and it's Randy. And I know you hear this from me all the time. Everywhere I go, I have to say it. I am not the car dealer. And that's okay. He's a great guy. I heard someone said it today. This is our Pastor Randy Reed, and he's not the car dealer. It's okay. He's a good man. I like him a lot. The next thing is, I am known. I have a community. It is so important. If I say you belong here, it's so important for you to have a community of believers. I didn't make that up. That wasn't my plan. That was God's plan. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Don't stop hanging out with others who can sharpen you. You show me somebody that says, I don't have to go to church. I am the church. And I'll show you somebody that may be out of balance because they don't have anyone that's giving them some pushback, that's sharpening them. Iron sharpens iron. Air does not sharpen iron. And you can get the best teachings available for free online. But you can't get this online. Well, I just don't feel like I'm known. Maybe it's because you don't feel accepted. Because until you feel accepted, you don't really feel like you have people. And so for those of us who've been around for a while, and I remember our kids, we had a hallelujah night when our kids were very young, our oldest three were really young. We had a hallelujah night in response to Halloween, right? Hallelujah night. But it was a dress up. Dress up as a Bible character. Okay, as a Bible character. That's what we said. And we had a daycare at that church, and one of the daycare kids came dressed as the best devil you've ever seen. It was biblical character. And I got a video somewhere, VHS, I got a video somewhere of my three oldest kids as little kids, and they were dressed in their costumes, and when he walked in, the indignation on their face was palpable. It was like, oh my God, he came as the devil. He was a good devil, too. He was kind of creepy. I'm not going to tell you what I was dressed as, but I was dressed like I was Kelly, and she was dressed like she was me. Probably couldn't do that today. Probably wouldn't work. I am accepted. You see, you need to know that we accept you and that you can belong before you believe. I don't care who you are. And as a church body who says, you belong here, I need you to get on board with me like that. I'm inviting you to drop your judgment, get the plank out of your own eye before you start picking specks out of others. The next thing is, I'm valued. And I am significant. I am valued and I am significant. When somebody comes to me and says, I'm here and I am the best thing since sliced bread. God has sent me here to be this for you. My initial response is, that is fantastic. Can you serve in the nursery this Sunday? I was praying for God to send someone. And if they say, well, no, I've done that, then I know they're not the best thing since sliced bread. And it's not there's anything wrong with serving in the nursery, but do you think that the Holy Spirit doesn't enter that room? Do you think Holy Spirit isn't active and going after it for those kids as people model the Father God giving care to them? Come on. The point is, do you feel valued? Maybe that sounds devaluing that I say that to someone. I've just had a lot of better than sliced bread people come my way over the years. Belonging requires a few things from you and us. I share ownership. I have a place. Owners are different than consumers. Consumers consume. Owners get their hands dirty. It's funny, on Thanksgiving or Christmas or even this week where we had the family in, and we were cooking, it was a holiday and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, when you gather like that, it really doesn't matter who you are, if you're the oldest, the youngest, or whatever. When there's stuff to be done, everybody just does it. It may not be the thing you want to do, I don't want to do the trash. I did the trash last year. It don't matter. Someone's got to do the trash. My hands are tied up over here, and I'm doing this over here. Do something. What you don't want is Randy sitting on the couch throughout the whole thing, and my wife's clapping. I share ownership. I share responsibility. The difference there is, you're accountable, man, for what you do. You're accountable for what you don't do. It isn't all me. Now, I've had those people over me that like to dump stuff on me. They thought they were delegating, but they weren't. They were dumping on me something they didn't want to do. But the facts are this. They're still responsible. And it's really their responsibility to help me in my role, whatever my role is. Now, I know we're a small church, and it's like, well, if you just had this, if you just had that, if you just had this, we're a small church, but everybody here can have a role. Every person here can be involved. Every person here, you belong here, and therefore you have responsibility. There is a role for you. I share common core values. We think alike. Oh, a bunch of lemmings. I already heard that this morning. No. That doesn't mean we believe everything exactly the same. Doesn't mean that we don't have differences of opinion, because I assure you, we do. We differ in some opinions here. There is no doubt that we do. But we have common core values of Jesus is first, right? We believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe that He died for our sin, paid the ultimate price that we could not pay for ourselves, and then went to hell and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Ugly Face, and rose again, showed Himself to hundreds of people over multiple days, and then eventually told the disciples to go and wait for the one I said I was going to send, Holy Spirit. And then He went up into the clouds. And sure enough, that day came. And the mighty rushing wind, flames, fire, craziness, proclamation, boldness, Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, and the church was birthed. And 3,000 people were added to the church in one day, and they were baptized in that day, which had to have been crazy. That's a common core value. We value the one. We value one another. We value His presence. His presence is a preeminent thing here. He is our audience of one. He's more important than the next song. And you will see that from this worship team. And they can be that way because you have joined in to worship. They don't have to drag you in, get you worked up. Audience of one, His presence. And we have an agreed upon vision, a common purpose, an agreed upon vision. And this is it. Be light. Give hope, demonstrate God's power, and celebrate God's presence. Now, here's the kicker. The messy truth is about belonging is that it takes risk. Is that right? Did it change? Yep. You have to what? Let me tell you. You got to leave your weapons at the door. You got to let down your walls. And you got to be okay with the fact that it will cost you something to truly be connected to people. So often the fear of being wounded, of often rooted in the pain from past experience, keeps us from fully giving ourselves to a community. You know, I know most of you have been hurt somewhere. In church and out of church. This is a new day. You can't change that. I can't change that. And I promise you, you hang around with any group of people long enough, someone's going to offend you. Don't let that fear overwhelm the wonderful path that God has you on and the great things he wants to do through you and in you and to you. Matthew chapter 6 says this, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Here's an interesting thing about that. Moth, rust, and thieves. Moth has to do with clothing. You ever had mothballs? You know why? Because moths will eat your clothes. That's why they had cedar closets and cedar chests. It was a big thing at one time. I don't think we have such a moth problem now, but back in that day, when this was written, it was a big deal. Your clothing was very, very important because you just didn't go over to Kohl's and get a new tunic. It was very important, and it was more than just a necessity. It actually could show wealth. It could show prominence. And rust destroyed. The actual root meaning of rust there is to eat. It's actually so that the worms don't get your food. See, they didn't have refrigerators either. Food was pretty important because if you didn't eat, you died. Don't store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves. Let's talk about thieves for a minute. They didn't have the First Bank of Weston back then either. You had your valuables. You kept your valuables. You bury them in your house. You'd hide them somewhere. But everybody knew that. Everybody knew where your stuff was. I mean, your animals and things, those were part of your value. If you had anything of value, they could dig through your little dirt hut and get your stuff. By the way, they had thieves back then. You knew that, right? There were two of them on either side of Jesus hanging on crosses. Don't store up for yourself treasures. And let's talk about treasures for just a second. Treasures there is not necessarily money. Obviously, let's go on to the next verse. It says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Your treasure is what do you value? It can be money. But as we just saw, it can also be the essential things of what to wear. What am I going to eat? What am I going to drink? All of these things are treasures, and yet we can be putting too much emphasis on them. But I tell you, you belong here. You belong here. You belong to each other. Next verse says this. And I use in the Amplified, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other." That's Matthew 6:24 in the Amplified. 25 says, or 24 continues, "You cannot serve God and mammon," which is deceitful riches, money, possessions, "or whatever is trusted in." There is the issue. Trust. But you belong here. I don't know if I can trust these people. 25. "Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat and what you shall drink, or about your body and what you shall put on." Isn't that interesting that the only things Jesus mentions in our text are food, drink, and clothing? So treasures on earth can actually be things that we need. The issue here is bigger, though. It's bigger. It's whether or not, it's not whether you live luxuriously. Rather, do you trust in money more than you trust in God? Do you trust in stuff more than you're trusting in his presence in your life? Is money the middleman or the main man? I don't know if you thought about this, but excluding you retired folks, but you retired folks got there by working. You don't retire by not working. You work, then you retire, right? And enjoy the fruit of your labor. But I don't know if you realize this, you spend more of your time making money than anything else. A lot of your time. You work, they give you money. It goes on and says, is not life greater in quality than food and the body, far above and more excellent than clothing? You're made in the image of God himself. In his image he made you. You're way more important than your clothing. You're way more important about what you're going to eat next. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they? Jesus did not die for the birds. But you could be a bird watcher just from this scripture right here. Look at the birds of the air. We have martin birds out behind our house, purple martins. They come every year. They migrate to South America, which is a long ways. And they come back every year to the place where they were born, which is the birdhouse behind my house. Those that survive come back, and then they'll leave in August, and they'll fly. And occasionally other martin birds will stop at our house on the way, and then they end up in some cities like Tulsa, Oklahoma, has always been one where just thousands and thousands of purple martin birds descend on the downtown area of Tulsa on their way on that migration. And yet not a one of those birds is worrying about the trip. They're not worrying about where there's going to be any worms or bugs. They do everything in the air, by the way, including mating, and they mate for life. They eat a lot of bugs. Are we not worth more than his creation? Absolutely, because we are in his image. And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature or to the span of his life? Here's my point. Some of us have suffered much more in this world than has ever happened to us. We fear everything because everything is possible. Such a heart possesses nothing, though it may have all. Its only real possessions are its fears. That is not the place God wants you to be. Let the weight of his glory break the chains of fear that hold you back. And why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed like one of these. You take a look at a wild lily under a microscope and be amazed at the beauty of its structure. And it didn't sit there and grunt and groan and toil. It just opened up and displayed its splendor. But it is God. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, or in my case, mowed. Kind of wish it would stop growing. Will he not much more surely clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? Worrying does not enable you to escape evil. It makes you unfit to cope with it. The truth is, We always have enough strength to bear the trouble when it comes. That's the truth. But we do not have the strength to bear worrying about it. It's when you add the worry and the fear. You got your treasure, your eyes on a different treasure. If you add today's troubles with tomorrow's troubles, you give yourself an impossible burden. It's impossible to carry it. I'm not saying don't be a planner. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying you're carrying more than he's created you to carry. He didn't ask you to carry that. How do I know that? Well, for the Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. He is not caught off guard by any need you perceive you have. I think what may perplex him is that you still continue to fear and worry and be in doubt. You know, his thoughts are not my thoughts, and it's a good thing. I don't think I could handle them. I don't think I could handle his thoughts, but I can tell you this, I need to get rid of some of the vain imaginations in my own head. And even worse, I say them. I think it and I say it. It's like, why are you doing that? The Bible says out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word is confirmed, every word is established. And there is someone ready. His name is Ugly Face. His name is the devil. He is ready to confirm that negativity that I just spewed out of my mouth. Well, I just wasn't thinking. Exactly. Mama said, if you can't say something nice, my mom said, shut up. But that works too. I love you, Mom. But seek, aim at, and strive after, verse 33, aim at and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. You know that one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. This is just the amplified version. Then verse 34. Do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Sufficient for each day is its own trouble. Do not live in the future. Live now. Put your arms around your wife right now. Hold your husband's hand right now. Take a walk with your child later on today. Not now. Enjoy the life God has given you, because you belong here in this place of fearlessness. It's a family thing. You know how it is. It should be safe to be in your family. And so you're going, why is he telling me all of this? Why is he saying all this today? I don't get it. Is it about money? Is it about what? I'm going to tell you why. It takes greater stewardship to carry his presence than to carry his gifts. God has called Lift Church to carry his presence. And you can't be in fear all the time. You can't be all divided and more concerned about making money. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money, right? It's the root. You belong here. I said all this to say this. This building's for sale. They've received an offer. They're getting ready to accept it. I've met the new owner. He was a former fire marshal in Kansas City. Well-known mover and shaker, business guy, has other businesses. They're going to turn this building into a shared office space type of place. And they got plans. They got plans for our space. And I want to tell you, the enemy's tried to put fear in me about what that means. And I'm not fearful. I'm excited. He asked, he was in our service when Pastor Chris spoke 2 weeks ago. He sat through our service. And we were talking about Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, get filled with Holy Spirit. Come back tonight, get filled with Holy Spirit. He sat here through all that. Isn't that great? And we had people, 20, 25 people that night, get filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like we our expectations said would happen. But I want you to know this. It takes more to carry his presence than it does to carry his gifts. His gifts ought to be just everyday stuff for us. It takes people who will not bow down to fear, who will not bow down to lack, who will not get so concerned that they miss the big picture of what God is doing. We sing a song, the whole earth is full of your glory. I don't see that yet. And I'm inviting you to accept the challenge of belonging, to belong here. If that means that we become mobile, then we become mobile. What's the big deal? If we meet at a hotel, then we meet at a hotel. Or if we meet here, I don't know what they're going to propose to us. But I suspect they're going to want more money. I'm a mean negotiator. I can handle that. I'm okay with that. I love this place. I really do. It meets our needs right now. I'd like to get rid of that pillar. But I love this place. I love meeting here with you. But this is not the end all of end alls. This is not what God is doing here. Is this space? It's just space. Your family. And you belong here or wherever we meet. So here's what I need from you. I need people that will pray, God, have your way. Whatever that is. I need people that won't be so distracted by their own lack that they would realize it's time I put some skin in this game here because you haven't been a giver. I'm just saying. That means you're moving from I go to that church to I belong to this church. And it's a body, not a building. I need you to pray with me. Pray that I'll have insight, witty ideas, and negotiating skills. Guy seemed like a nice guy. Pastor Chris brought him to him. He seemed like a nice. We prayed for him. We prayed for their negotiation. We prayed for their offer. I would love to see this building fulfilling its destiny. And the destiny of this building does not dictate the destiny of Lyft. We're blessed to be a blessing, and we will be so as long as we're in this space, right? And if that can work out, then great. If it can't, then buckle your seatbelt, baby, because the cloud is moving, and I want to move when it moves. That excites me. So he asked us. He asked me and Pastor Chris, so how are y'all feeling? The new owner guy. His name is Ed Collins, Edward Collins. He said, how are y'all feeling? And I said, well, we're nervous and excited. Pastor Chris goes, that's exactly how we feel. Thank you, sir. And he said, well, let me calm your nerves. We're going to do, I can look at spreadsheets all day long, but I can't see people. And that's why I came. And I just want you to know, we're going to do everything we can to try to allow you guys to stay here. And what I wanted to say is, you're not allowing us to stay here. That might have been a little cocky. So I didn't say that. But that's the truth. I didn't start Lyft, God did. Kelly didn't start Lyft, God did. And this was a gift. We didn't have to even pay for it at first, which is crazy, okay? He provided then, he'll provide now. But I need you praying with me for his will to be done. Right? On earth, right here, our natural, as it is in heaven. And the reason why I'm asking you to do this is because you belong here in this family. It's a family thing. Step it up, family. Don't be going praying that it doesn't go through, that their contract fails. We're not praying no negatives. We're praying positives. Pastor Chris had a word a while back at Encounter, which, by the way, we do have an encounter tonight, at an encounter that we will leave here because we have to, because we want to. What was it? Because we need to, not because we have to. Okay? So I am fine with that. I am fine with that. I want you to pray with me. Father, we've made a habitation for you in your presence here. And you see the beginning from the end. You know how we have been good stewards financially of the blessing here. And I'm grateful for your provision that goes with the vision of this house. We have a sense of belonging here that is incredible. I've never sensed it before, like as strong as it is here. I pray that everyone that doesn't feel that they would take some of those steps I mentioned today, and that they would press in and find where they belong. It may not be here. It may be somewhere else, but you've called many, if not most, that are here in this room or even listening to me to belong here, to be a part, to be owners of the vision. And so, Father, you're our Father. This is your family. It's your family thing. Have your way in each one of us. At our work this week, in our homes, in our families, we say yes and amen to your purposes and plans. We bless Edward Collins and the group that's looking to buy this building. We bless their efforts, iWorks, whatever it is they're going to put in here. We bless, oh God, and we curse not. And we say, make it prosperous. You've given this man, it appears to me, the ability to obtain wealth. And I say blessings to that. And there could be others that want to come and belong. They want to belong with us right here. They could be coming to stay in offices that are going to be open to them that they didn't have that opportunity before. And they may want to come and belong. And they may want to be a part even before they believe. And that's the kind of house we are. It's the kind of house we want to be. So your blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. You belong here.